for our young people. We have a number that are going to be going down to Bob Jones University for a voice, instrumental music, and preaching contest. So you might pray for them for that. Caleb will be bringing a message Wednesday night to us that he'll be presenting down there. So I encourage you to come to our prayer service. It's an important part of the life of the church as we come and we pray together. Turning your Bibles to James, the book of James, we'll be looking at those verses that we read this morning in our responsive reading. Just by way of reminder of the first chapter, in that first chapter, James presented a number of ways in which the believer demonstrates the genuineness of his faith. We saw in verses 20 to 25 how God's word is to be affecting our lives in every circumstance of our daily existence. We need to be learning how to be doing the word of God and not just proclaiming it from our lips. In verses 26 and 27 of that first chapter, he gave us examples of what it looks like to be doing the word of God. It talked about the bridling of the tongue, visiting the fatherless and the widows, and keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. When we come to chapter 2, in verses 1 to 8, we saw there how it's so important that we ought not in our Christian life to have a respect of persons, where we would treat one different than another because of their circumstances in life. In our last message, which was 2 weeks ago, verses 8 through 13, we saw how we are condemned under the law, only finding mercy through Christ in his law of liberty, which is verse 12, and that the one who shows no mercy evidences that he's still under the judgment of the Lord, but the one that is showing mercy gives evidence of that forgiveness. Today, when we go to verse 14 and the rest of this chapter, James explains to us a relationship between works and faith. Now, you've heard me preach in the past that it is faith alone, without works, that saves somebody. And you're going to hear me preach that again. Tonight, when Pastor Howard gives a message on Martin Luther, as we see him as a central figure in the Protestant Reformation, you'll hear how Christ's law of liberty in faith alone brought him to salvation in Christ. The books of Romans and Galatians brought him to understand that faith alone in Christ is what is what he needed, and consequently brought him to salvation, though he had been a man of great works. He had done all of the works that the Catholic Church could lay upon him, but yet he felt that burden. I'm sorry, I don't need to get into your message tonight. It was interesting that Martin Luther was so caught up in Romans and Galatians and the precious truths there that he almost thought James was a heretic. Wait a minute, he didn't quite understand what James was saying. But you know, we know that God does not contradict himself. We know that as we study his word, and we study it so that we may understand the differences and harmonize it, recognizing how one is important and how it harmonizes with the other. And I believe we will see that here in this second chapter of James. Really, there's only two main points that I have this morning. The first is that faith that doesn't work is not a live faith. Faith that does not work is not a live or is not a living faith. We look at the 14th verse. He says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" He's letting us know that there is no value there in a non-working faith, in a faith that is not working. And we'll see as we go through here why it is that, and what it is that he's saying about working. Are you trusting in a faith that you would declare, and I ask this question just to kind of help us to think as we go through this, are you trusting in a faith that is not producing spiritual fruit in your life? Are there no evidences of works being produced by the faith that is within? This verse is letting us know that you could be one that has a faith that has no value whatsoever because it is not a living and not a live faith. We'll see this as we go on. Verses 15 and 16 show us here a life illustration on empty works, of a work that is of no value, of something or words that are of no value. And it gives this to illustrate, just taking something from life and showing how useless words can be. He says, "If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" Now here there are great words of provision that are spoken. Coming from the lips of this individual, he's saying to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled. They are words that would indicate the person is one of compassion and will do something of value to you. But what's it say? But then the man turns and walks away. There is no provision that is given. There is no substance to the words that he has spoken. They are empty words. They are words that sound good, but the person went on his way with no care for this person that was in such need. And so he asked the question, what profit was that to that man? What profit was it to that man to speak such great, comforting words? You're going to depart in peace, be filled, be warm. But he's left. He's left with nothing. He's left with nothing. What profit? The obvious answer, isn't it? There was no profit whatsoever to what that man declared. It was an empty declaration of words. So when you come down to the 17th verse, he then relates that illustration that comes from a common thing in life that happens, and he turns it and he says, now even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. You know, many can speak of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hear many people speak of faith. I believe in Jesus. I believe in him. But a faith, he says here, with no works is a faith that is alone. That is, it is only words. It is like the situation above. It is like the situation of the man that speaks words to somebody, but his words have no value whatsoever. He's saying that's what it's like when there is a faith that is not an acting faith. It is only words. It has no value. It profits nothing. Faith that only speaks, it has no value to the professor. You know, there's a saying that we sometimes say, this one is a professor of the faith, but he's not a possessor of the faith. You can be a professor. You can be one who professes something with your lips where there is not that is inside. That's what he's trying to say. And so we recognize that, as I said, faith that doesn't work is not a living faith. It is a faith that has no value. It is a faith that is that of just empty words. And as he says here in that 17th verse, it is dead. What does it mean that it's dead? Well, we'll see that as we go on in this passage. But there's no life. There is nothing there. So James lays out here this idea that faith that doesn't work is a faith that is not living. There's no life to it. There's nothing to it. It is of no substance. It is like that is dead. Now, when we come to the 18th verse and through the rest of these, we see that faith that works is a live faith. It is a real faith. There is substance to it. It is alive. And we'll see this as we go on through this passage. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Faith is demonstrated by works. We see that in that 18th verse. One commentator made this statement, speaking of, because there are works that are not of faith at all. He says, what some members do are not works of faith at all. What they do requires nothing as great or as vital as faith. It calls for only a little respectability, a little decency, and often only a little of this. What he's saying is, men sometimes declare, well, I'm doing good things. You know, I'm doing good things. I'm working. What he's saying in that statement there is, you know, the good works that we see men do, sometimes, you know, all it takes is a little respectability, a little decency. But a faith, when James says, I will show thee my faith by my works, he's saying, I'm going to show you what a true faith is. I'm going to show you what a true faith is. Faith is of God. A true faith comes from knowing God and then trusting in Him, because you know Him to be true. The trust in God is a work produced by the living faith. You know, I say that, I think there's a There's an excellent verse that corresponds that we often quote. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, and this is a passage of Scripture that lets us know that we must come to the Lord by faith alone. It says, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then that 10th verse, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Here in the book of Ephesians, as Paul is speaking there, he lets us know that we are saved. We are saved through faith. We recognize that we are saved, that it is something that is not from something we have done. It's not from our works. It is the gift of God. A gift is that which you cannot work for. A gift is something that you receive. I have had something that I've given to someone, and they ask, "Well, how much can I pay you for it?" I said, "You can't pay me for it. It's already paid for. It's a gift, and so you just have to receive it. You can't pay for it. It's because it's already paid. There's nothing else can be done." And with salvation, he lets us know in that 9th verse that it's not of works, lest any of us should boast of something that we have done. But he concludes that, and you know, there are those that would declare that I have faith. I have faith, and I've just received the gift of the Lord. I don't have to have any works. Well, what does Paul say to the Ephesians? He said, when you receive this gift, you become a creation of God. He says, we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's why James can say, you think you're going to show me your faith without works? Leave me show you my faith that is a demonstration. What were the works? Let me show you my works that are a demonstration of my faith. I've been created in Christ Jesus. There is something there that makes me different and that I can do because of something that God is doing within me. So James is letting them know, my faith is demonstrated by the works. There is that has taken place. I've been made a new creature in Christ. If any man be in Christ, we're told he is a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Those verses fit right here with what James is telling us. I will show you my faith by my works. As I said, where is our faith? Our faith is of God. Our faith comes from knowing God and trusting in Him because we know Him to be true. And the trust in God, that trust in God then is going to evidence itself through what we do. Now, in the 19th verse, he gives a negative illustration. James says, let me talk about this belief that is not a trusting faith. He says, you believe there's one God. How many people do you say, well, I believe in God? I believe in God. They'll say, I believe in Jesus. What's he say? He says, well, that's good. You do well. You've gone that far. But he says, what does he say? The devils believe also and tremble. What is he saying here? The devil's faith is that doesn't produce anything. Theirs is only a belief that fears. They know there's a God, and they fear, and they tremble. Their existence is of opposition to God. They're opposed to God in everything that he does. Their work is evidence of their damnation. Yes, we've known men who say they believe, and yet their works are against God and they're against his word. Their belief is of no more value than the belief of the devils. It only evidences a dead faith. That's a verse that we need to remember, and that we need to, in the evaluation of our faith and in helping other folks to understand, well, it's not just something that you say this set of words and you're going to be saved, but it's something that is coming from the heart. It's something that is coming from God. And when a man is truly saved through that faith and receiving the gift of God, there's something that's going to flow out of there that is right and is good and is going to be a demonstration of that. So we see that negative illustration when we see that a faith that works is a live faith, but the faith of the devils, their belief is a dead faith. It is of no value whatsoever to them. Now, in the 20th verse, he goes on and helps us to understand this dead faith. He says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? He says, you need to understand this. Here's something, O vain man, O you that think that just that mouth profession is all that is necessary. He says, faith without works is dead. He's letting them know that many are deceived and think they have salvation because they have a declaration of something, but there is nothing from the heart. There is nothing there that is producing that evidence which indicates, he said, and well, he'll go on and explain it further yet. But he's saying, understand dead faith. Understand there is that is dead faith. And so he says, wilt thou know, O man? It's like he's saying, you've got to know this. You've got to know this. After he says that, then he goes to Abraham. He goes to Abraham in verse 21. And he shows us here, first of all, in the 21st verse, he shows us there how Abraham showed his faith. He says, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? What happened back there in Genesis? God asked Abraham to offer his son, Isaac. Now, Abraham believed God. Abraham knew God. Abraham believed God. And God had told Abraham specifically, he told him that from Isaac would come a great nation. Abraham's belief was that God could do what no one had ever done. Abraham had never seen anybody raised from the dead. But God told him, it is from your son Isaac that I'm going to make this great nation, and it will come from him. So Abraham could trust God because he knew God was true. He knew God would perform what he said. And he knew that if Isaac's life was taken, that he'd get it back. Now, how do I know that? Because in Hebrews 11, that great chapter of faith, in Hebrews 11, we are told that. In Hebrews 11, and if you read verses 17 and 18 and 19, it talks about it there. Listen to this. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Abraham put Isaac on the altar. And he was ready there to do. He was doing what God told him, but he said, of whom it was said that in Isaac thy seed shall be called. And then look at verse 19. He says, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, and from whence he also received him in a figure. You remember the story. God was proving Abraham. God was proving that faith that Abraham had, that Abraham had a genuine faith, and those around could see that genuine faith of Abraham because he believed what God said, and though he had never seen any such thing happen in all of his life, yet he knew because God said it, God will do it, and he had a trust and a that was, there he is showing us Abraham's faith is being shown. It was that his following God and doing what God told him to do that was a demonstration and showed him that Abraham was a man that was justified. Abraham had a faith that worked. Look at the first part of verse 22. Seeing thou how faith wrought with his works. Faith, it was faith that was active. His faith was demonstrated with his work. His faith produced the work of taking Isaac because he believed God. Abraham knew God. He knew he could trust God, and thus he acted on his faith. So, James says, see how faith was wrought with his works. You see how faith was, it was demonstrated that Abraham had faith because he believed God could do whatever he'd never seen before. And as a result of that, the last part of verse 22, we see that he says, and by works was faith made perfect. Abraham believed God. He acted on that belief. God showed himself faithful. Wow. You know, I'm sure when Abraham came off the mountain that day, he says, wow, Lord, look what you did. I believed it, Lord. I didn't know how it would happen. But Lord, When I showed that I believed you, and it was demonstrated, you had a lamb right there in the bush that you intended to take all the time. You've given me my son. Abraham went out with a faith that was perfected. It was matured. That's the word. It was preferred. It was perfected. What is it when you see, when you act by faith and you say, Lord, I know what your word says, but boy, I don't know how it's going to work, but because your word says that, I'm going to do it. And then you see God provide, or whatever the situation is, that's when your faith is perfected. That's when your faith is strengthened, and we are built and we're strengthened in our faith. If we are those that say, I know what God says, my case is not going to work, so not this time, Lord, maybe next time. That's a dead faith. That's a faith that is not acting on a trust in the promises of God. We get down to verse 23, and we see what this faith produced. We see what this faith produced. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now, the scripture said that. Abraham believed God, and it was his belief, it was that faith that gave him the righteousness. Righteousness was imputed, righteousness was put upon him because of his faith. It was the faith that gave the righteousness. But look what it produced. He was called the friend of God. What a blessing it is to not be on an adversary relationship with God, but to be a friend of God. Faith produced, and Abraham was known. He was known as a man of faith. He had that right relationship with God. He had there was peace between him and God. He was called the friend of God. So we get down to verse 24, and he says, James comes back. And he says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. He says, now do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying that a man, by works a man is justified and not by faith only? Yes, Abraham believed God. It was imputed him for righteousness. But his works demonstrated, it showed that faith that was working inside. It showed that lively faith. It showed that living faith. He goes on and he gives another example. He goes to Rahab. Rahab the harlot. Rahab that has a name that follows her because of her past life. An immoral woman. But when, you remember when the spies came into Jericho, this great city, this great walled city, here was a woman, yes, a sinful woman, an immoral woman, but a woman who came to recognize they are the people of God. A woman that from that time forth, as a woman that turned from her sin, had a faith in the God of the Israelites, of the true, she said, he was the true and the living God. And that woman put her life on the line when she, that day by faith, recognized the true and living God. She put her life on the line. And she took those two spies that came in and she hid them. And then she sent them out over the wall to spare their lives. What does this verse say? It says, likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Her works demonstrated her faith that she had in God. Now, when you go down to the last verse, then he very clearly says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You know, he says, when there is a body and there's no spirit there, Brother Mazzy in the adult Sunday school class today, he talked about how God put into man life, and used the word pneuma, and how, you know, there was that breath of God that went in him, and man became, and there was life that was there. But before that life was put in him, the man was dead. As the body without the spirit is dead. And so when one dies and the spirit is gone, his spirit is gone, everything is still all there, but it's dead. You know, you can see the person, the body there, but it's dead. And James is saying, and as he wraps this whole thing up, he says, so faith without works is dead also. Where do the works come from? The works come from within. The works that are the they're only showing the faith. And when he says, when you've got one that professes faith, they profess with their mouth, but there is no true faith within. There's no works. They're dead. There's no spiritual life. There's no spiritual life. So there he gives that human body illustration. So is faith. If it has no works, it is dead. As we bring us to a conclusion this morning, what's the difference between Paul and James in the Scriptures? Paul describes how a man, if you're reading Romans and Galatians and faith alone in Christ, Paul describes how a man must remove he must remove trust in his works in order to have saving faith. He cannot be trusting in his works in any way. It is Christ alone. It is the finished work of Christ on the cross that saves. Galatians is such a wonderful book to draw that out, that if you're trusting in anything plus your faith, if you're trusting in your works in any way, you don't have saving faith. You need to be trusting in Christ alone. And that's, I think, what we'll hear about tonight with Martin Luther. But James, on the other hand, is showing that a true saving faith is a faith that is alive. And that life is going to show itself in the works of the man of faith. We started from the beginnings with the book of James saying, James is helping you to test your faith, to see if it's genuine. And the works whereby a man is not just being good to somebody else, but works that are showing, hey, there's a true faith in God here. There's a faith in God here. There's a faith in God's word. That's something that man just doesn't naturally have. Did Luther? I said that he didn't understand James too well. He understood very clearly the concepts of salvation by faith alone. But did he think that faith wouldn't work? Let me read you a quote of Luther's. I doubt if you have this one in your message. If you do, sorry. Okay. Oh, it is a living, active, energetic, mighty thing, this faith, so that it is impossible that it should not work what is good without intermission. This is Luther speaking. It does not even ask whether good works are to be done, but before one asks, it has done them and is ever doing. But he who does not do such works is a man without faith, is fumbling and looking about him for faith and good works, and knows neither the one nor the other, yet chatters and babbles many words about both. I trust that your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Christ alone, and that you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that then you are made a new creature in Christ, and that your works are a demonstration of the faith that you possess. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord God, for your word. Thank you for this great book that helps us to understand the importance that works have in regards to a demonstration of our faith. Now, Lord, help us to simply trust you and follow your word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.